Blog Talk Radio.
It wasn't a very, very good Santa Claus. I sounded more like Rush Limbaugh. Good evening and welcome.
he's a
we don't want to do that here. Well, no, we don't.
Yeah.
Eerie House
yeah,
Radio. I'm Dale Kay.
He's the conservative Santa Claus.
Yes.
Dave Dickinson from the Weirdness Really Bad Movie.
And we're here tonight to bring in some more Yuletide tidings, Yuletide good feelings. It's Christmas time. We got some great Christmas shows for you. And we hope your Christmas is going really, really well.
I was out getting the last of whatever we had to get today.
As did
which
I.
Which was mostly money, you know.
Yeah.
Gift card.
Yep. That's exactly where I was at. Hopefully the wife
is
not
cards,
with
I think gift cards are a little more personal than money. Money's accepted in more places, though.
Well, absolutely. Money's pretty much accepted everywhere. Especially here at Eerie House. Our address is...
Hey, we've got Vorpal Bite with us tonight.
Hey, welcome back, Vorpal. And I'm sure we'll be seeing some of the regular others. There's been some little problems, it seems, with Blog Talk of late. Hopefully everybody's receiving us and listening fine. I know a couple listeners went in and out last night and had difficulty, either with their Wi-Fi or the connection here. Well, we apologize.
Or as Mike Mace would say, they hear us, but they don't get us, you know.
Yeah. They receive us, but they don't get us.
That's right.
No, I think our listeners do. They love the old-time shows. I know I'm enjoying, especially the ones I haven't heard before.
You know, and
last night,
is such a magical time. You know that, Dale? It is such a magical time. And people, they just turn into so much nonsense. Like, you know, yesterday when I was at the store and you know, they knocked me over getting in front of me at the register, they at least, you know, helped me back up. So, you know, that's
well, see,
something
that's nice.
that doesn't normally happen. So.
Yeah. You can tell it's Christmas. They're polite after they knock you to the ground.
That's right. After they do a little ho-ho-hoing and chuckling. And but they do, you know, right. You know, the rest of the year they let you lay there, you know.
Yeah.
And say, oh, I'm falling and I can't get up.
Too bad. Give me your present.
Yeah, well, could you get out of the aisle there? Could you crawl out of the aisle there? Because you're kind of blocking me.
Yeah. The stupid kid wants this.
Yeah.
That's funny. But it is what it is, and I'm away from the maddening crowds finally, and pretty much in the house, both Eerie House and the upper echelon levels of the abode here. I hope everyone else is ready. We were reminiscing yesterday about some old time Christmas memories because this really is a magical time of the year.
It indeed is, and. Unless you really didn't get the toy you wanted and you can't let that go, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
a time where it's just, it's a special time, a magical time. And it just, you know, kind of behooves people to want to give and to share with each other. And at times when you wouldn't think of doing it, other times of the year, but, they're just something different.
Yeah.
I never
had a Christmas where I felt like, gee, I didn't get good stuff or anything like that. You know what I mean? I didn't have that letdown. It was more my birthday 2 weeks later when they took it all away. So, that's the hard part there.
And then there's always the credit card bills. You know, so you have Christmas once a year, and it takes 11 months to pay off the bills. But
yeah. It's the Christmas that keeps giving and giving.
That's the way to make Christmas last all year long.
Yeah, just run up those bills, kids. What the heck? It's good for the economy. Our address is... No.
But we do have lots of great radio. I was kind of hoping that we'll see guests 134 and 40. They were probably trying to log in, but boy, we better get started on some of this, Dale. We've got. I think we ought to go, Uncle Boris.
Oh, Les. Boris Karloff as Santa Claus? No.
Yeah. I want to ask you, and I think today is the appropriate time.
What is it, Ken?
Do you believe in Santa Claus?
Well, Ken, every year I hang my stocking in the fireplace.
And what happens?
It burns. Of course, when I was a kid, I used to write Santa Claus and ask him for, so many things. How times have changed. Now Santa Claus writes to me.
Well, you do believe in it.
Well, Ken, let me tell you a little story.
Why?
Last night, I was at home waiting for Oscar to come over and spend Christmas Eve with me, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting in front of the fireplace, you know, thinking back over my life.
That took you more than one evening, didn't it?
No, I skipped the part that Larry Parks plays. Anyway, while I was sitting there, I heard a sudden noise in the fireplace. And a weird-looking Santa Claus stepped in the room. He didn't look as much like Santa Claus as he did like Boris Karloff.
Hello, little man.
Who are you?
I'm jolly old Saint Nick. Fee, fi, fo, fi. I mean, ho, ho, ho.
If he keeps laughing like that, he'll split his sides.
Have you been a good boy, Asa?
Yes, I was a good boy, and I was a good middle-aged man, too. But lately, I've been slipping a little.
Nevertheless, you're still on Santa's list. I'm a little late this Christmas Eve. I was delayed. One of my reindeers slipped and fell.
What did you do?
I ate him.
I can't believe you're Santa Claus. I didn't hear any jingle bells.
My bells don't jingle. They just toll.
It's getting a little chilly in here. Would you mind throwing a log on the fire and hanging on to it?
Now, don't be afraid. I am Santa Claus.
No, you're not. You're Boris Karloff.
Oh, shucks. Everybody recognizes me. Must be my long eyelashes.
But, Boris, why are you in a Santa Claus suit?
I want to be loved.
Well, you're in the wrong place. You better go over to the bride and groom program.
You don't know what a terrible life I lead. Playing all those sinister characters has made me a marked man. When little children see me, they run and scream. That's why I put on this suit and pretend I'm Santa Claus.
And what do the kids do now?
Run and scream.
I'll do just the opposite. I'll scream and run.
But why? I'm nice and gentle. Why must I be the victim of the parts I play in pictures? Can I help it? My business is killing. Yours is singing. I see no difference.
I'd insult this guy, but he might give me a stiletto for Christmas and deliver it in the back. Boris, look, if you're going around pretending you're Santa Claus, you can't act the way you do. Santa Claus is a sweet old gentleman. He's good, and he's kind.
I'm trying to be a real Santa Claus. I give away presents. In fact, right now I'm due at Peter Lorre's house. He asked for a train.
A grown man like Peter Lorre wants a little bitty train?
No, he asked for the super chief. He wants to tie someone to the tracks.
Say, look, if you got Peter Lorre's letter, did you happen to get the one I wrote, Santa Claus?
Oh, yes, I received your letter.
You did? And did you bring what I asked for?
Sure, here it is. an autographed picture of Al Jolson. Tell me, why did you ask for a picture of yourself?
I like to look at me.
You're lucky. I even have to shave in the dark. Well, I must leave. I've got a few more stops to give away some of your record albums.
Oh, do you give a lot of people my record albums?
No, only to little boys who've been naughty. Oh, how it frightens them so.
Well, look, if you'll excuse me, Santa Claus, I gotta go to bed now. I gotta get my sleep, you see. I'm on the Kraft Music Hall.
Are you sure you'll be able to appear?
Oh, of course. There's nothing to stop me. Maybe there is.
One must never be too sure of anything. I believe there was a knock at the door.
I thought it was my knees. Oh, hello, Oscar. Gee, I'm glad to see you come in. Santa Claus, this is Oscar Levant.
How do you do?
Oscar, why don't you say hello to Santa Claus?
Sorry, I don't believe in him.
Well, to tell the truth, in this case, I don't blame you. I was sitting here smoking, and suddenly he appeared.
You better change your brand of cigarettes.
Oscar, look, you don't understand. I was just sitting here in front of the fireplace when suddenly I was face to face with Boris Karloff.
Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please, I do so want to be friendly. Would you like a Tom and Jerry? I made them myself.
What are they made of?
A couple of fellas named Tom and Jerry. Now, Mr. Levant, I'd like you to believe in me, so here's a little present. A bottle of fine champagne.
But it's got a skull and crossbones on the label.
Probably a picture of the manufacturer.
Please, Boris, if you're going to play Santa Claus, why don't you visit some of the fellas who'll be expecting you, like Sidney Greenstreet or Bela Lugosi, huh?
I visit both the good and evil, and you're certainly good and evil.
I'm beginning to like this guy. He's my type.
Thank you, Mr. Levant. Your appreciation of the macabre and your intelligence acceptance of the supernatural from the realm of mesmerism and hyperphysical occurrences is gratifying. I think we understand each other.
That's good, because I don't understand either one of you.
Boris, I think you and I will get along okay. Have a cigarette.
I prefer what I'm smoking.
What are you smoking?
F.E. Boone.
Well, that is what I like, a real Merry Christmas.
Now, Mr. Levant, I've got something for you. I've heard you play the piano hundreds of times, so here is a violin. Merry Christmas, gentlemen, and goodbye.
And, Ken, believe it or not, that's exactly what happened on Christmas Eve. Oh,
but, Al, that story is a little unbelievable. You must have been dreaming.
If you don't believe me, ask Oscar.
Oscar, did all that stuff really happen to you and Al?
No, it didn't, Ken. It's a ridiculous story. Well, I gotta go now.
Where are you going, Oscar?
I have to practice my violin.
That's a real treasure and a real clean recording. Very
yeah,
nice.
from the good old Kraft Music Hall. Bing Crosby was the first host. Al Jolson was busy doing the Shell Chateau at that time, and then when Bing Crosby left the Kraft Music Hall, then Al took over. So,
and of course, it was always nice to get great guests.
Always great when you have these musical shows that you have on guests that are non-musical and have a little bit of fun with it. There's one coming up at some point we'll have to play where the radio Brace Beamer shows up, the Lone Ranger, shows up on a Bing Crosby show. It's absolutely hilarious, a little parody that they do. But that's what makes so much of what we do here fun, is just, you know, not only sharing the programs, but the clips that can kind of go along with it. So,
yep. And we're celebrating Christmas. Just 2 days away. 2 days away.
Yeah. Well, I'm having my trouble logging back into Blog Talk, so if anybody else is, you're not alone.
Yes. Pretty soon the place is going to be reeking of turkey here.
Oh, we got turkey. I think we got. Yeah, you're right. We got turkey coming this time too. We have meatloaf for Thanksgiving, so we're having turkey for Christmas.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And we don't have any turkeys for you today. We have some really, really good stuff. Tonight's feature is from the WCRS radio stage. Tell us a little bit more about that, Dave. I'm not real overly educated on WCRS.
Well, WCRS was one of our names for the radio reading service. I was first with us. We were the Tri-County Radio Reading Service, TCRRS. The WCRS Written Communication Radio Service came along, and now we're WEYE of Goodwill. But during the course of that, I think I did 28 half-hour radio dramas, mostly with the volunteers that came along and got to be in it. And this was kind of a different story for me. This is in our first year. It was our one of four Christmas stories I did. And my cousin, who lives in Lima, Ohio, she had acted when she was in high school and in college, and also did some directing in college. And then after college, and she came back home, she did a lot of a little bit of acting, but mostly directing, both in community theater and then back in again in high schools. She left that, but when I offered her a chance to play a part in one of my radio dramas, she jumped on it. And we were both kind of nervous. I was afraid that I wasn't writing something good enough for her, and she was afraid she would not be good enough for the part I was writing for her. But when it all came together, it was really kind of unique. Dave Crawford, who served as my cohort, came up with the music for this. And actually, I was fighting pneumonia at the time. I took a few lines in this, and I was fighting pneumonia at the time. So it was a really kind of cool show because my cousin and I got to act together in this one.
Well, you're a real trooper getting through that while you're sick, but I've been looking forward to this. Let's listen to part one. And what year did you record this? Do you recall?
This would have been in December of we probably recorded it in the end of November, but it was for December of 2000 is when it was aired.
Wow, so a little history here with Dave Binkley, WCRS radio stage, Home for Christmas.
From great stories to tales of intrigue, we present WCRS Radio Stage. Please join us for this exercise of the imagination with radio drama. Today, a story by David E. Binkley. That sound tells us there's only 15 seconds till curtain time, so get comfortable in your chair as we go to Studio X and WCRS Radio Stage presents the story, Home for Christmas. Christmas is many things to many people. For the young, it's presents and Santa Claus. For young couples, it can be a time of beauty and romance. For others, it can be a time of reflection, a time of peace. But there are some people who have no inner peace, and it can become a torturous time of loneliness and self-doubt. For those, hopefully, Christmas can mean a chance for redemption and a time for new beginnings, whether they make it happen or if they just let it happen. Sometimes this is done by the way of luck, and sometimes by means of a Christmas miracle. So, just what does Christmas mean to you?
The bus startled me as it pulled out of the station and it woke me up. I must have really been in one of those deep sleep phases because it took me a while to figure out where I was. Funny thing is that even when I realized I was on a bus, I couldn't remember ever having gotten on it. And what's more, I didn't know where it was going. I checked through my pockets, but I couldn't find a ticket for myself or my luggage. I couldn't even find my purse. The only thing I had was the clothes I was wearing. What did I do? Did I lose my ticket? Or did I sneak onto the bus when no one was looking? The thought of the latter kept me from walking up to the driver and asking him where the bus was headed. So I decided that I must have known where I was going when I got on the bus. So I kept quiet. I peered out the window, hoping to find a clue as to where I was and to where I was going. But the only thing I could see was snow swirling against the bus. The one thing I came to realize was that with the snow coming down as it was, I wasn't in South Carolina anymore. I clutched the ring on the chain that I wear around my neck and wondered what I'd done now as I uneasily sat back in my seat and stared at the snow swirling around the bus. I'm not sure just how long I'd been gazing out into the blackness of the night when I was yanked out of my trance.
Going home for Christmas?
I turned slowly to find a young man smiling at me. I didn't know what to say, so I didn't answer him until he spoke to me again.
I'm really, really sorry. I didn't mean to wake you up.
It's okay. I wasn't asleep. I was just thinking about something else.
Must have been thinking pretty hard. You haven't said a word since I got on this bus over an hour ago. For the last 15 minutes, you've just been staring out the window.
So?
Well, I just wanted to make sure you were all right. I didn't mean to pry into your life or anything. I was just killing some time with conversation.
I see. What makes you think I was going home?
Well, it is Christmas Eve. I mean, that's usually the only reason people travel on Christmas Eve.
I don't know. Is that why you're here?
Bill Simmons. Yeah. Actually, I just got off work a couple hours ago. I barely had time to make it to the terminal.
And where is your home, Bill?
No more answers until you tell me your name.
It's Mary Beth Thompson.
See, now, that wasn't so hard, was it? I'm from Detroit.
Detroit, huh? Well, isn't that Ohio State jacket you're wearing?
Well, yeah. I know it doesn't make sense that a guy from Detroit is going to Ohio State. Well, you know, Michigan State and all that, but that's where my dad went, so that's where I go.
Hmm. Are your parents expecting you?
Actually, no. I was supposed to work tomorrow, but the boss decided he was overstaffed for the holidays, so I got to sneak home. I get to surprise them. So, where are you from?
More places than you realize exist. But most recently, from South Carolina. Originally, I'm from Cleveland.
No, South Carolina. Well, that explains why you don't have a coat.
I don't have a coat. I guess I just decided to come on such a spur of the moment that I just got in the bus and forgot to bring a jacket.
You must have been in some major hurry to head up here without a coat.
I guess I must have been. To tell you the truth, I don't even remember getting on the bus at all.
Well, then I was right.
Right about what?
About going home for Christmas. This route goes through Cleveland. Do your folks still live there?
Well, my mom and stepfather live there. My dad, he passed away about 20 years ago. I was 16 and my mom married this guy in less than a year. I know that it was for convenience. Mother was never very good at coping with things by herself and, well, Roger made enough money to take care of us.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to dredge up old memories.
Hey, that's all right. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, are you going to try to tell me that because something happened a long time ago, it doesn't hurt anymore?
No. No. I guess I couldn't tell you that.
Hey, I hope I'm not too nosy here, but What is that on that chain that you keep covering up around your neck?
This? It's a ring. It belonged to my father. I got it when he died. Aside from memories, it's the only thing I got from my father.
The only thing?
That and my nose.
Ah, your dad had a cute nose.
Well, I don't think he thought of it that way. You know, no matter how bad things got, I always hung on to this ring. Whenever things got really bad, I hold it tight and I talk to it like I used to talk to him. I know it sounds silly, but when I talk to it like that, I feel like Daddy can still hear me, wherever he is, and it makes me feel a little better. It at least made me feel good enough to keep going until things got a little better. Sometimes I believe it's my dad who makes it better for me. Sounds crazy, huh?
No. No, it doesn't sound crazy at all. How long has it been since you've been home?
I left home when I turned 17 and haven't been back since, so it's been 17 years since I've been back.
17 years? That is quite a while. So, what made you come back after all these years?
Beats the heck out of me. I don't think anyone would be more surprised than I am to find me coming back to Cleveland. No one except my mother, perhaps. This is the last place I ever thought I'd find myself. I always figured the only way I'd ever come back here would be in a coffin.
Well, if that's the way you feel, then why are you coming back?
I don't know. Maybe because it's Christmas.
Christmas is different.
Isn't Christmas a time for forgiveness?
For who to forgive? You or your mother?
I'm not sure. Probably both. I sure hope you're a psych major. You are really good at this.
Well, actually, I'm a journalism major. But I am minoring in bartending, so that makes me a pretty good listener, I guess. Besides, you look like you could use a friendly ear.
I could probably use a drink more.
Yep, I can't drink and steer a conversation, so you'll just have to settle for the ear right now.
You'll be disappointed, because that's about all there is to my story.
That's all the story there is, or that's all the story you're going to tell me.
You're wasting your time on me, because my story isn't a new one, or an interesting one for that matter.
Oh, I don't know. Something happens. A 17-year-old girl runs away from home, spends the next 17 years searching the countryside. But searching for what? What did she run away from? What does she hope to find when she goes back home?
You tell me. You're doing pretty well on your own.
Oh, yeah, but from me it's only a story. From you, it's life.
I think I'd rather hear the story. Maybe it'll have a happy ending.
And you don't think yours will be a happy ending?
I don't think that anyone actually has a happy ending, do they? I think the best we can ever hope for is a peaceful one.
Hey, sorry. I'm crying again.
It's okay. It's passed the time away.
Yeah, look, we made it to Cleveland.
Things sure have changed around here.
Yeah, that's where the Indians play now. You know, you ought to come up to Detroit sometime and see the new Tiger Stadium.
It looks so nice. Well, that used to be a bunch of abandoned buildings. So many things have changed.
Have they?
I said many things, not everything. But we'll find out soon enough. Here we are at the bus terminal. It's the first familiar thing I've seen tonight. See? Some things never change.
Give it a chance, Mary. Give it a chance.
The bus turned onto Chester Avenue and pulled into the Greyhound station. All of a sudden, I got a terrible case of the nerves. My legs became so weak, I couldn't get up out of my seat.
Look, folks, I know that it was supposed to be a 45-minute layover, but the weather put us in late, and we need to take off in 15 minutes in order to get back on schedule. So if you're going on to Toledo and you need to get off the bus for a stretch, I need you to get back on as soon as you can. I'm sorry for the inconvenience.
So this is your stop, isn't it?
I thought it was. But now I'm not so sure. Maybe I should travel on to Detroit with you. You know, check out that new stadium you have there.
Well, I suppose you could. But you know, even with the dome on, we don't play baseball in December. Besides, I really don't think that would solve your problem.
I'm not so sure that my problem can be solved.
Well, whether it can be or can't be, you'll never find out if you just run away.
I've been running for 17 years. I've become very good at it. probably the only thing I'm good at.
Look, Mary, I know this whole thing is none of my business, but you have been running for so long, and now you are so close to finding what you've been seeking. If you don't take the chance now, you probably never will, and you'll spend the rest of your life wondering what it might have been like. You've been searching a good part of the country for the answer, and it's been right here all along.
How do you find the answer when you're not even sure what the question is? Well, if I'm going, I have to get now.
I knew you would. Here, take this.
What is it?
My old OSU sweatshirt. At least it'll give you a little bit of protection since you forgot your coat.
Thanks. This will help protect me from the outside cold. Now if I only had something to protect me from the cold that's inside.
17 years is a long time, Mary. I know you're stronger than you were back then. You'll be okay.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, Mr. Simmons. You know, you really should change your major. You are really good at listening to people.
Hey, well, a psychologist might have better hours, but bartending tips are a whole lot better.
Thanks so much for listening, Bill. And Merry Christmas.
Mary, Merry Christmas. I hope you find all the answers you're looking for. Questions, too. Good luck to you.
I have some prognostications of what may happen, but I will keep them to myself and not play spoiler.
I think
I picked up your voice, and yeah, you were probably feeling a little under the weather there. But if you had not told me that, I would not have known that.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have recognized me either. Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. But it took half the story just to kind of explain the situation. It is an interesting story. I always enjoyed Rod Serling's writings, and I'm hoping that this is a little bit like that. So
I was gonna say this is good eerie house fare. There's something unusual going on here, I think, and we're gonna discover that when we wrap it up. I was just thinking about, again, some of the cool old iconic stuff from Christmas's past, you know, us growing up in the 60s and 70s. The big Coca-Cola went crazy at Christmas with various promotions and signs,
yeah.
Old tin signs. And yesterday we were talking about the bubble lights. I also remember we always had a string of lights that had unusual lights. Like one was like a house with snow on it, and the whole thing lit up. You know, there was a bulb, and it was a heavy, like, crystal glass piece. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a little cheesy plastic thingy.
Well, yeah, we always had a string of lights that when one went out, the whole strand went out. And you didn't know which one it was, and when you finally found it and got it fixed, then it would be good for another 2 days.
Yeah, and another bulb would blow, and you'd have to go searching again. Oh, gosh, I remember that. And did you have the we used to call them snowballs. They were the big bulbs that had, like, it almost looked like there was hard sugar on them. It was a big round global thing with and they, you know, of course they were different colors. We used to call them snowballs. We had those.
Let me ask you something. Did you start off with real trees or a fake tree?
We started off with real trees when I was little.
Yeah,
we did the real trees for a long time.
And then finally, I think at one point, I was probably about 16, when they, after Christmas, when they had their tree sales, that they would then put all the your fake trees on sale.
I'm going to admit the tree that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody threw away the artificial tree I have now. Somebody threw away. And what it was that there, it needed slight repair to keep the branches up. And it was very simple and easy to mask with the tree, and it was absolutely complete. The only problem is when the people threw it away, they left tinsel on it. Oh, gosh.
Oh, okay.
My hands were so black after picking all that tinsel off. Looked like I stuck them in an inkwell or something, you know?
Yeah.
Coal black, hands when I was done. Yeah, it was a dirty job, but it served me well for years.
I remember the first artificial tree I had was my grandfather's, not that I had, that I saw. And he had one of those silver ones.
Oh, yeah.
One of those, the palm, they call them pom-pom trees or something like that, where at the end it kind of just puffed out with the, they were like, to me, they looked like flippers. And then in the end, it kind of moved out. And then he had a color wheel that went with it. So
I was going to ask if you had one of those, because usually with the silver trees, they had the projection lamp with the spinning color wheel that would change the color of the tree.
Right. Yeah, the red, the green, the blue, and I forget what the other color was, but there were four colors there. Sometimes only three, but yeah.
Maybe yellow for the fourth color?
Yeah, maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. But he had the spinning wheel that went with that.
Now, did your family go nuts with outside lights?
A little bit. My daddy constructed, cut paneling up and it would have Santa and the reindeer, and he would tack that up to our fence, and then he would kind of light that up. He would light that up a little bit, and then of course put a red bulb on Rudolph's nose out front. So
wow, there's always places where people just go crazy. I remember when I first started my family and lived in Cleveland proper, there was a place near Garfield Heights at by one of the hills over there. And this guy had a deal with the local power company because you wouldn't believe the cables they had run into their backyard. But it was absolutely an amazing Christmas display. They had a working Ferris wheel of lights. They had lights going dozens and dozens of feet into the air in their backyard. It was a valley going down, but there were tall trees, and it was just amazing. And you know, they didn't have a specific like charge to come and see it and run through their yard and everything like that, but they had a basket asking for donations because it was very expensive to do it. But the guy who did it was just happy to do so, and people would wait for miles sometimes to come and see it and wait in line.
There were some people that, you know, down in Green, Ohio, there's this two houses, they're next to each other. You know, one thing I want to say about that, you know, things were heavier gauge and they were a lot more harder to drive and stuff. I mean, the motors and everything is so much lighter now that they almost had to make a deal with the electric company in order to, one, get enough electricity without blacking out the whole neighborhood. And two, to be able to run it, because they had to get special rates to be able to do that. But down in Green, they have, and again, it's the LEDs, and they take up so much less. There's cost so much less to run, and really don't break down that often. And they have they do have the Ferris wheels and all kinds of different things and things that go across wires and things like that. And they also have a small FM. Transmitter that it just basically goes for about two blocks, and they broadcast like music with it, Christmas music that goes along with it, that you turn your radio to that band. And that's something that's been they've been doing, I guess, for several years, but I just discovered it last
year.
My
cool attack
kind of led us down there, so yeah, that was really neat.
That is really cool. They got their own radio station for the music to go with the lights. That is awesome. So many great Christmas memories, and I'm sure one of them for you, Dave, is this show. Let's wrap it up and get to part two of the WCRS radio stage, Home for Christmas. This is a good homey story, and I'm anxious to hear the ending.
Back to Chester Avenue.
Yep.
I stood at the station and watched as the bus drove off and disappeared into the snow. Just then the wind kicked up and reminded me that I'd better be moving along. I had about a 2-mile walk ahead of me and thought about calling a cab, but I didn't for several reasons. First was that I didn't want to get anyone out on Christmas Eve, and secondly, I didn't have any money on me. But even if I had the money, I think I would have walked anyway. I thought about what I would say the next time I saw my mother for the last 17 years. Yet here it was about to happen, and I couldn't think of a single thing to say. The wind picked up again, and I was surprised that it didn't chill me to the bone. Lucky that I had the sweatshirt to keep a bit of the weather away from me. How could I have been so stupid as to come all the way up here and not even bring a jacket? Funny thing about it, ever since I found myself in that Greyhound, I've been thinking. And for the life of me, I can't remember getting on that bus. I can't begin to tell you all the thoughts that went through my mind as I trudged through the snow. Some of the thoughts were there just to keep my mind busy. Some of the thoughts were there because I just couldn't stop them from coming. I turned onto East 69th Street and slowed my pace even more. For a second, I thought about walking down past the house and keep walking until I reached. What's the use? Bill was right about one thing. As close as I am, if I don't face it now, I never will. I stood in the driveway and stared, barely recognizing the house that stood before me. The house looked so dilapidated that I was sure the next gust of wind might make the whole building collapse. I was beginning to believe that the building was abandoned altogether, but when I looked through the window, I saw a single light in the back. I don't know who or if anyone lived there, but it's too late to turn back now. Nothing. Well, that's it. There's nobody here. Probably hasn't been for years. I was about to turn and walk away when I thought I heard something move inside the house.
Who is it? What do you want?
It's me, Mama.
I don't know who you are, but this little joke you're playing isn't funny. Get off my porch and leave me alone before I call the police.
But, Mama, it really is me. Mary.
Away with you. You can't be my daughter.
Why couldn't I be her?
Because my daughter wouldn't have left me alone all these years without a word.
Look, Mama, I don't have to stay here, but if I could just come inside for a few minutes and talk with you.
Well, I don't see why I should.
Please, Mama.
All right. Catch my death standing out here, and I've nothing here to steal, so you may as well come inside.
Well?
What do you mean, well? You came here and want me to say what? I suppose you want an apology or something.
I don't know, Mama. I'm not even sure I expect you to say anything at all.
So, you leave me without word, and then you just show up on the doorstep after 17 years, and you don't even know what you want to say or what you want to hear. You never were very organized, Mary, and you never knew what you wanted.
Maybe so, but I always knew what I didn't want.
Well, I'd offer you a seat, but I haven't one here.
I see that. The room's empty.
Come to the kitchen. I've got some chairs, and it's a little bit warmer.
Where is everything?
Sold it. Got what I could. Probably was overpaid for that matter.
But why?
Because you gotta do what you gotta do to keep going.
Has it been that bad?
There are times when I wish it were only that bad. Go on, have a seat.
Thanks. Are you going to join me?
May as well.
So, how's Roger doing? Out drinking, I presume.
Well, I would presume so. But I wouldn't know. Roger left me a month after you did. Why did you drive Roger away from me, Mary? You knew how much I needed him to take care of me.
Needed someone, perhaps, but you didn't need Roger.
How can you say that? He took care of me and you.
Take care of us? He barely threw you his loose change, and you scurried after it like pigeons rushing for breadcrumbs in the park.
What? What are you saying? You had food, you had clothing. How could you say that we were not taken care of?
Yes, and I saw how you had to take care of me.
And what do you mean?
Late at night, he would wake up the whole house when he stumbled in another drunken stupor. And when he passed out from the booze, you'd go through his pockets, taking enough money to survive on, but not so much that he wouldn't think he hadn't spent it drinking.
You saw that?
Yes, I did.
Well then, you know that I would do anything for you.
Almost anything, anyway.
Oh, you never liked Roger. Just because you didn't like him was no reason for you to drive him away from me.
Me drive him away? It was he that drove me away.
What in the world do you mean he drove you away?
Mama, I told you about the way he was looking at me, and you did nothing. I told you about the way he was touching me, and you did nothing. And then one afternoon, through the grocery store, and he had his way with me.
You mean he raped you? Oh, my poor baby. I never knew. I was so worried about being left alone that I didn't see what was happening. Well, I guess I didn't want to see it.
I swore that he would never touch me again, so I ran away.
For 17 years, I blamed you for Roger leaving me. But now I know what he meant. That if that little whore isn't coming back, then there's no need for me to stay. Oh, I missed you so much, Mary. No matter what I thought of you, I missed you.
I've never been able to have a serious relationship with a man.
And I suppose you blame me for that, too.
I did. But after being here with you, I realized that it has been my fault. Whenever I got into a relationship, I did what I do best. I run away. I never stayed anywhere long enough to get the help I needed. Whew, that's what Tricia kept trying to tell me.
Tricia? Who's Tricia?
Tricia is my roommate in South Carolina. She's always looking out for me.
What is it, Mary?
I don't know. The excitement and all. I'm really tired. I don't remember ever being so tired before.
Oh, my baby. You're freezing. You're so cold.
I don't feel so good, Mama.
Oh. Then your bed is where you need to be. Come on in.
I can hardly stand up.
It's okay, baby. We're here at your room.
You sold almost everything you own in this house, but you haven't moved one thing in my room. And my sheets. They're clean.
Well, I always hoped you'd come home someday, and I wanted to be ready. Come on. Get into bed, love.
I guess I should have had more than just that sweatshirt to wear. I'm so cold.
Oh, there, now just lie back and I'll cover you with another blanket.
I'm sorry, I'm so much trouble.
That's enough out of you now, Mary. Just relax, get some sleep, and everything will look a little better in the morning. It always looks better in the morning. Oh, look, it's midnight. Merry Christmas, baby.
Merry Christmas, Mama. I'm so glad I'm home.
I'm glad, too. And now that you're home, I'm not going to let you go again. My little Christmas angel. Oh, look at you. So still there. Now, who could that be? I'm coming. I'm coming. Yes?
Mrs. Falcone?
Yes, I'm Esther Falcone.
You don't know me. My name is Tricia Finley. I'm your daughter's roommate.
Yes, Tricia, and what can I do for you?
Look, I don't know how to tell you this, but Mary Beth, she was struck by a car this afternoon.
She what? What are you talking about?
She was hit by a car. I've been with her all day, and she just passed away at midnight.
If this is your idea of a joke, Tricia, it's not very funny.
The hospital will be calling you shortly to make arrangements, and I'll be sending you the ring she always wore around her neck. Somehow it got misplaced here in the hospital. I'm really sorry.
I don't know what she's talking about. See, there you are, sleeping in... Sleeping in you. Mary Beth? Mary Beth, where are you? The covers are set like someone was here. And there's an impression in the pillow. Did I just lay down here and dream the whole thing? What's this? It's Mary's ring. And an Ohio State sweatshirt.
Today's program featured Cheryl Mulholland as Mary Beth, Lee Zinner as Esther, David Roden as Bill, Carol Gasper as Tricia, and David Binkley as the bus driver. Home for Christmas was written by David Binkley. Original music was written and performed by David Crawford. Theme music for WCRS Radio Stage was written by David Crawford and Tom Holman. WCRS Radio Stage is produced in Akron, Ohio, by David Binkley and David Crawford. I'm your host, Joe Calley, asking you to join us the next time we open the curtain on WCRS Radio Stage.
gosh, David.
So you didn't have
CV, I kind of did, but not the details, which was wonderful in the way that your story came out. I stood up and applauded. That was freaking fantastic.
If you go back and research a lot of out of body experiences, especially of people who are dying, that is very similar to what you can read about of what people have visited them from thousands and thousands of miles away at a time when they are dying. So
that's a hell of a story. And as far as your efforts to reach something of the level of Rod Serling type entertainment, that made the mark. I'm not saying that because you're my radio partner. I'm saying that because that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, well,
so
thank
there.
You. Tried to get a couple of those surprise type endings in there, and like on Whistle Stop, I was telling you when we filmed that one, Debbie, who was the dispatcher in that one, as she was reading, she said, "Oh God, I hope she dies," and she did, and at the end they got to walk off, pick the train together, you know. But
when you write this stuff, tell me the truth. When you write this stuff, do you get the heebie-jeebies at all yourself?
No, because it's so it's really a hard draw, pulling this stuff out of me at times. The Whistle Stop actually was one of the two quickest ones I ever wrote. One of them, the Sherlock Holmes one, was one that was mostly based, many of it word for word, right out of the original short story that my writing partner in college, Mike Elliott, and I did. But most of them were not, even though I did base three of them on that, one of them coming up in February during Lincoln's birthday. It was one that we had a short story, which is basically a diary. And I built a radio play around the diary, including parts of the diary as well. But, how I write these days, I have a beginning place and I have how I want it to end. And I let the characters kind of guide me throughout the story sometimes.
That's an interesting way to write. And probably a good natural way because it's the characters that are telling the story.
Yeah, and they surprise the hell out of me. I've always said my characters are a hell of a lot more clever than I am. So, but anyway, it is Christmas time. It is Christmas time, and I think we've got some more Christmas fun here yet.
Yes, we do.
We've got still a lot to share, and I think it's time to go to Command Performance, where we had not only Bob Hope, but one of the great radio feuds of all time. And by being radio feuds, what it is, whenever they got together, ratings shot up. They were fake feuds because they were friends. In the case of Jack Benny and Fred Allen, Fred Allen always loved and stayed in New York, where Jack Benny went out to California. So it was very unique for them to get together, unlike Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, who were both out in California and had their own shows going on and stuff. That was a lot easier to make appearances. And usually, more often than not, it was Jack Benny going east to New York when something like this happened. But in this particular case, it was an episode of a Christmas episode of Command Performance. And Bob Hope, of course, was Master Film. What was that?
I said, and so in this one, Fred comes to visit Jack.
Actually, I'm not sure where this one is from because Command Performances came from several places. So a lot of them did come from California. But who knows? In this particular one, I'm not sure where they were. I think it was just for like 1945, I think.
Awesome.
So it would have been right around Christmas or Christmas Eve of 1945.
And this is this the Jack Benny? Oh, no, this is Command Performance with Fred Allen and Jack Benny.
Great.
We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
And now, fellas, I'd like to present a couple of men you all know. It took a lot of us to bring these two men together tonight, and it'll probably take a lot more to pull them apart, Jack Benny and Fred Allen.
Stop bowing, Benny. Every time that gray head goes by, it reminds me of Barbara Frietchie.
You're jealous, Fred, because I can bend without creaking.
Well, Jack and Fred, it's good to see you back together for Christmas and not fighting. After all, two middle-aged men should watch their blood pressure.
Look who's talking, middle-aged men. Listen, Hope, your middle is aged more than ours.
That's just a figure of speech.
Really? Well, with a figure like yours, I wouldn't go around making speeches, mister. Besides, Bob, you've got us all wrong. There was never any ill feeling between Jack and me.
What are you talking about, Fred? I heard you say on the air one night that Benny squeezed a dollar bill so hard that Washington got buck teeth.
He did not, Bob. All he said was, I wouldn't pay a nickel to applaud a bubble dance with a hat pin.
Sounds as though Hope's writer wrote that for you.
Yeah.
No, you fellas have got the whole thing wrong. I merely said that Jack took the first buck he ever made, slapped it on his head, and had skin grafted over it. Every time he walks down Hollywood Boulevard on Dollar Day, his scalp twitches. Bob, that was just a casual remark made in passing. There was no malice intended.
Of course not. Hey, that's a straight line. What am I doing with that?
I'd settle for a line, but just a second, Jack. How about the time you said Fred's eyes looked like fly specks peeking over two ping pong balls?
Now, wait a minute. Now. Bob, now, wait. I've got the face, and you guys are doing all the mugging. I mean, Jack never said that at all. All Jack said was that I looked as though Santa Claus had come down my nose and left a bag under each eye.
I did not, Fred. Remember, I said you were the only civilian I know with a sad sack under each eye.
That's right, Jack, and I think that's one of the biggest laughs you have ever gotten on the air.
Well, thank you, Freddy.
That's the spirit. That's more like it, boys.
What's more like it, son?
Yes, we can straighten this out ourselves, Mr. Skelton.
Oh. Please, that's the Sinatra of my life, please.
You have a line coming up, Mr. Hope.
That's you, though.
All right, I'll give you the other line. Who asked you to squeeze toothpaste on these troubled waters?
Well, I was only trying to be nice, but that's out of character for me. I'm going to get out of here. You two guys lean on each other. So long. Nice exit.
Gee, he got a big hand there, didn't he?
Yes, Jack. People were sure glad to see him go. You know, Jack, is this the same program that Jimmy Durante was on? Is this the same program
still?
I think so.
It's supposed to be a Christmas program. I didn't think we'd get on until New Year's. Well, Fred, here we are, though. And am I happy to see you?
Yes, Jack, here we are, and am I happy to see you?
Gee, Fred, you're looking fine.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. You're looking fine, too.
Well, this can't last long, fella. Anyhow, Fred, welcome to California. What are you out here for, the orange picking season?
Well, I have been doing a little picking while I'm waiting to hear from Monogram.
I really came out here to make a picture, Jack.
A picture? Good. You know, things have changed since you made your last picture, Fred. They talk now.
Well, I talk a blue streak. I'm ready for Technicolor.
Well, I see you brought your...
Now, wait a minute. That's my laugh.
I least... know, I know. I see you brought your famous wit over the Rockies with you. By the way, where are you living, Fred?
Well, I've only been here 6 weeks, Jack. I haven't gotten a room yet.
Yeah. Well, it gets pretty chilly here at night, Fred. Doesn't the cold bother you?
No, I picked up an old Indian blanket at Albuquerque. It's a little crowded in there with the old Indian, but... That's housing in California today,
yeah.
Jack.
You know, when you're away from home nowadays, Fred, things are pretty tough. Travel is difficult, too. Now, take my case. I just returned from a 32,000-mile trip overseas where I entertained thousands of men.
I was waiting for that. I was wondering how you were going to work that in. I was just...
It was a thrilling trip, Fred. South America, Africa, Sicily, the boot of Italy.
The heel finally reached the boot.
Fred, you're jealous, that's all. When I was in Egypt, I did a special show for King Tut.
Now, wait a minute. King Tut has been dead for 3,000 years.
I know, he was a very tough audience. And he still looks better than you do.
Well, I wouldn't talk. Every time I look at your scalp, I think of that song, The Surrey with the Fringe on Top.
I don't get the connection, Fred. I drive an automobile.
Well, all right. Surrey with the fringe on top, Maxwell with the jerk inside. What's the
lucky to you, Alan, that I don't understand that type of humor.
You don't understand my humor? Why, I remember you in vaudeville, Benny. The only reason you carried a fiddle was to beat off the audience.
Well, Fred, you never had to beat off an audience. For your first 10 years in the theater, you did your act in the men's powder room.
And that reminds me, Benny, you still owe me 40 cents for towels, by the way.
Ah, those were the happy days, though. Fred, remember the time we played South Bend? Krauss and his mathematical cat were on the bill with us.
Krauss with his mathematical cat. Remember the opening show? The cat had kittens on the stage and we couldn't top it.
Yeah. Funny, too. You shouldn't have had any trouble with that puss of yours. See, I thought that would have been a yell.
I did, too. Puss, seldom.
Cat.
Well, puss has seen its best day. I guess.
Say, Fred. Will you ever forget Mrs. Swallow's boarding house in Baltimore?
Oh, in Baltimore. I had a room, Jack, that was so small, the ceiling was so low, the mice had to run around on their hands and knees.
Well, Fred, in your room, they had to pray for something to eat.
Well, of course, in your room, they were sure of a crumb. They had a little... Well, things were tough in those days, Jack, but we didn't mind, did we?
No, and I want to say right now, Fred, you were a real trooper.
That goes for you, too, Jack. You're the salt of the earth.
Thanks, Fred. But really, you shouldn't admit it. I mean, even if it's Christmas, we shouldn't be so friendly.
Why not, Jack?
Don't throw bouquets at me. Don't please my folks too much.
Don't laugh at my jokes too much. People will say we're in love. Don't sigh and gaze at me.
Are you swooning?
Your eyes are so like mine. Your eyes mustn't glow like mine. People will say we're in love. Don't start collecting things. Give me my rose and my glove. Sweetheart, they're suspecting things. People will say we're in love. So in love. People will say.
kind of creepy. No. Jack Benny and Fred Allen. Often seem to be at war, but not really.
Yeah, they certainly had respect for each other, and I'm sure they liked each other, but they got kind of nasty in some of their comments, which is what the great radio feuds were really all about. And they, even though they were East Coast and West Coast type thing, on their individual shows, they'd almost always get at least one jab in on each other over the air, which always gave you greater anticipation for the next time they might appear together.
Yeah, and they kept up with each other's shows, too, so that they could, torture one another.
Absolutely, and comment on the other person's show, that kind of a thing. Jack Benny wasn't a writer, but Fred Allen was, and Fred Allen also had other writers. He had a complete collection of every radio show script he'd ever done, a whole library of it. So I hope someone in his family got that. That would be quite a unique thing. And if they didn't, I hope it was donated to some radio museum. Would have been really cool.
Or be published somewhere would be fun.
Yeah,
the radio beat that stuff up. I think they'll eat up our next audio treat.
We got time for some Charlie McCarthy there, right?
Yeah, we do, and a little something else too. Let's listen to Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy as Charlie sets a trap for Santa Claus.
It was such a nice song, and Mr. Eddie has such a fine voice, and you're such a nice fellow, Mr. Amici, and it's so near Christmas.
Yeah. And you're such a nice boy, Charlie.
Yeah, amn't I? I try to be goodly.
Yes, Charlie, you've tried, but I don't think you've quite succeeded.
Now, Bergen, what have I done now?
Well, I would like to have you explain why all that racket happened downstairs in the sitting room last night.
Racket, Bergen?
Yes.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. I heard a terrible racket, didn't you?
Well, no. I guess I was so busy making it, I didn't listen.
I didn't. Well, what I want to know is what caused it.
Well, if you must know, Skinny Dugan and I, we were fixing the chimney for Santa Claus.
Oh, you were?
Yeah,
fixing the chimney.
Yeah, that's right.
What were you fixing?
Well,
I say, what were you fixing?
Yeah. Well, now, you won't get sore.
No, I won't get sore.
All right. We were putting a trapdoor in a fireplace.
A trapdoor?
Yeah.
You don't mean to catch Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was good. We put a burglar alarm in the chimney.
A burglar alarm?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, why did you do that?
Well, he got away from us last year. This year we want to talk things over with him on the home ground.
I see.
Yes, he did.
Well, didn't Santa Claus give you anything last year?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He gave me the runaround.
He did. Oh, I see. Yeah. The runaround.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Why are you blushing, Bergen?
All right. Never mind that, Charlie. Where did you get this silly idea of putting a trapdoor for Santa Claus?
Well, I got it from Skinny Dugan. You see, last year, Skinny put a woodchuck trap in the chimney, you see?
Yes, a woodchuck trap.
Yeah.
I see. And did he catch Santa Claus?
No. But the funniest thing happened. Skinny's father limped around the house for 3 weeks. Amuse me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you must be mistaken, Charlie.
Yeah.
But I want to remind you that Santa's only purpose is to make people happy.
Oh, sure.
But it is possible for even him to make a mistake.
Oh, quite so, yes. Well, I've written a letter to Santa Claus clearing things up.
Oh, yes.
I itemized it this year.
Yes.
I would like to read it to you.
To me?
Yes. I want you to check on the grammatical errors and just to see if I've asked for enough.
You want to read it to me?
Yes.
I think that's very amusing.
Yes. I think it's subtle.
Yes. Well, go ahead, read the letter.
Yes, very good, sir. Here it is. Mr. Claus, dear sir.
Now, wait a minute. Mr. Claus.
Yes.
Yes. Why don't you start it, dear Santa?
Why should I humor him? Oh. Very well, read what you've got. All right, I will. Yes, here it is. Dear sir, please give this order your special attention. For last year, you certainly gummed it up. But I am willing to let bygones be bygones. See, that's in the last year. But speaking of last year, see, it doesn't hurt to rub it in a little, no. It was awful nice of you to stop at my house and to come down the chimney. But I am sorry you went to so much trouble to leave so little. to leave so little. And I do mean you. I wore my stockings 3 days before I discovered you had left anything in them.
God, aren't you ashamed of yourself writing such a letter to Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, read what you have. What are you asking for?
Here it is. Three days. I hope you will leave me a roadster and a shotgun and a camera. And I hope you will leave me a speedboat. I hope this letter finds you in good health.
Yes, I think you're asking for entirely too much. Yes.
Too much.
Too much.
Uh-huh. All right. Now we leave off the good health.
Charlie, it hurts me to see a boy as young as you are taking such a selfish attitude towards Christmas.
Oh, sure.
Such greed comes in and steals the beauty from the true spirit of Christmas.
Oh, sure.
And results not only in disappointing yourself, but in losing the friends you have won.
Oh, sure.
Now, let me repeat.
I heard it the first time.
What's this argument about, Edgar?
Well, Don, what do you think of a boy who thinks of Christmas only in terms of how much he will profit by it?
Well, frankly, Edgar, not very much. Mm. To me, the spirit of Christmas is the joy of giving.
Oh, do tell. What are you giving me, Mr. Meekin?
No, Charlie, that's exactly the wrong attitude. What Don is trying to say is, what are you giving?
Isn't he selfish?
No.
Well, now that you're asking, I'll tell you. I'm giving...
Yes, Charlie, what are you giving?
I'm giving you fellas an opportunity to buy a choice selection of Christmas cards.
Oh.
The prices are sacrificed at only $5 a dozen.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
$5 a dozen.
Yes.
Yes.
And by sheer coincidence, I happen to have a dozen with me.
And if we want 2 dozen?
2 dozen, yes. Well, by sheer coincidence...
All right. No. Well, $5 a dozen is very high.
Sure I do. After all, the purpose of a card is only to express a sentiment.
I know, but you fellas, you don't want cheap sentiment, do you?
That's beside the point. The real value of a card is the thought behind it.
Well, the thought behind it is for me to get $5.
All right, Charlie, I'm sold. I'll take one.
Oh, fine. One dozen.
No, wait a minute. One card.
One card?
Yes.
Well, they sell for $5 a dozen. That's the way they sell.
I know that, but I want one card.
You still want one card, I see.
Yeah.
Well, that means breaking it up a little here. It's nice to see that all your friends... if anybody is so...
This is going to take too long, Charlie. I won't take any.
Yes. No. The customer is right.
Yes.
12 goes into 5. 12, well, it doesn't go. Four, you move a decimal point. Are you sure you couldn't get rid of 12?
One card, Charlie.
Well, it seems to be... All right. Four, 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 and one is five.
All right, what is it?
It comes out exactly $5 a dozen.
Well, you might at least let us take a look at these cards first.
Oh, yes, sir. Read, gentlemen. As smart a collection as you've ever seen.
Well, wait a minute, Charlie. Some of these cards look used.
Is that so?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, now, there may be a couple of trade-ins, yes. but they're as good as new, gentlemen. As good as new. They've been overhauled, new corners put on them. And they're sold to you with a new card guarantee.
Is that so?
Hey, wait a minute, Charlie. Here are four Happy New Year cards for 1935. They're no good now.
Oh, is that so? 1935, uh-huh. Well, if it ever comes back, you're set, you know. Gentlemen, these cards are engraved and embossed.
Yes. Well, here's a Valentine card.
Yes, sir. We don't overlook a thing. To say nothing of the engraving and the embossing.
Yes, Charlie. And there are other people's names on these cards.
There are, huh?
Yes. It's probably embezzled, too.
Oh, yes, sirree, gentlemen. Nothing but the best. They're engraved, embossed, and embezzled. $5 a dozen.
And that was Joe Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And since we missed it for the main feature, and now hopefully Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story. If you think you can capture Santa Claus, you're probably a dummy.
There you go. Yeah, I hope that you didn't expect me to make a silly moral of my own story, so I'm glad you didn't ask me to do that.
You know, the nature, I was thinking about that actually while Charlie McCarthy was playing, and I thought that particular show was not appropriate to even have a moral. It was a chilling, a moving story, and I thought I didn't. It's good that we didn't, because it would have taken. I think it would have subtracted from a great little tale. So there.
Well, we are quickly amassing time here on our 90-minute Saturday show, and what all is going on Erie House Television tonight, Dale?
Nothing. I pulled the plug. Shut it off. No.
You pulled the plug. Okay.
No. We actually have some fine holiday seasonal programming at 8 o'clock, or I'm sorry, at 8:30 rather. This Dale K guy has some spook show thing going on with the movie Snow Beast, and followed at 10 by another guy that we know, Dave Binkley and the Weirdness Really Bad Movie with Tell him.
Beyond Tomorrow.
Yeah, I was not aware of this movie at all. I previewed a little bit of it as I prepared the programming, and it's tremendous.
It's a ghost Christmas story. The original title was Beyond Christmas, but when you re-release it at a time that isn't Christmas, it came out as Beyond Tomorrow. So
yeah. So that's
it's kind
of neat. Now next week, we're going to be looking at New Year's, of course, next weekend.
All kinds of radio New Year's tales that we've got on the radio, and I don't know of a lot of New Year's type movies out there that are in public domain, anyway.
No, nothing big time that we can use. But to make up for you, we'll have regular programming on Erie House TV. But to make it up for you on radio, not only are we going to do our regular Friday at 7:30 and Saturday at 6:30 show, but we're ringing in the new year live, and you can join us. Be safe. Don't go out drinking. Stay home. Have several drinks and listen to us. The more you drink, the better we'll sound.
Yeah. We're going to start at 10:30 at night so that we can actually stop the radio programs, ring in the new year, and then finish the feature program. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's so look forward to us on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings next weekend.
Yep. Well, we'll have to give Dale some no-dos, because Dale's usually in bed long before that. So.
I am going to mainline coffee. I'm going to use my insulin materials to inject coffee directly into my veins.
And I have a feeling that Gar the Ghoul said if he's feeling up well enough, he will definitely be there to join us as well. That'll help keep us awake as well, because he's just such a fun guy.
He's our favorite special guest. If not for his health, we'd just make him part of the staff.
Yeah, that's right. And he doesn't even have to quit his job.
Dave, we have enough time for a quick little thing here from the American Kidney Award.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and play it from 1993, and I can explain a little bit about it afterwards.
Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to the Christmas presentation of the American Kidney Award. I'm your host, J.J. Stuffy. Tonight, we have a very special presentation of the American Kidney Award. For tonight, we present it to a man who has to keep the spirit of Christmas all year long. Yes, this year's recipient is Mr. Santa M. Claus. Good evening, Mr. Claus.
Yeah, right. And let me point this out, that my last name is spelled C-L-A-W-S. Not C-L-A-U-S.
You seem to be a little bitter though, Santa.
You would be too if your parents thought it would be cute to name you Santa Claus. It's a terrible name to grow up with.
Well, why don't you use your middle name then?
Right, like Melville is really a better name. Some jokers, these parents of mine.
I'm sorry, it's just that you look like the spitting image of the real Santa.
All right, here come the fat jokes. Yeah, I'm overweight. It's part of this complex I have against my name. My therapist says that I overeat to make up for my identity crisis.
But it does look so good on you. It reminds me of a bowl full of jelly.
And then there's the matter of my beard.
I did notice your flowing beard, as white as the pure driven snow, where there isn't any air pollution.
Yeah, and here's my problem with the beard. First of all, it started growing when I turned 13. And as far as the white hair goes, I'm only 23 years old now.
Well, you might as well accept it. You are destined to be the Santa, Mr. Claus.
It's funny. That's exactly what my friends Esther Bunny and Miss Liberty said just last week.
Well, you know what they say, Santa. Laugh and the world laughs with you, but weep and you cry alone. Well, why don't you try laughing out loud and perhaps you'll feel a little better.
If you think it will help. Okay, here I go.
Perhaps it could be a little fuller laugh.
Okay.
just a little fuller.
Sure. Hey, you know, that really does feel good. Maybe I'll even change my name.
What to?
Why, to Santa Mervyn Claus, of course.
And here's your kidney award, Santa.
Why, thank you, J.G. I'll be sure to eat this just as soon as I get home.
This is J.G. Stuffy returning you to Weirdness Central.
And to all, a good night.
Great.
You know what? We'll talk a bit about that in the afterword, just because we're running close enough on time here that we won't really have a chance to talk too much about that. But 1993. That's my brother and myself.
That was fun. That was fun. May you keep presenting kidneys as the time goes by. I may need one someday soon.
As long as it isn't mine, I don't care, you know? It's okay.
Yes. Hearts are falling off left and right. So thanks again, live audience, for listening to Erie House Radio, Fog's Bane, and everybody else that's kind of been winking in and out. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next weekend. Bye-bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
There you go.
Nice, nice. And Again, the problems with a little bit of blog talk issues. Oh, well.
Well, I tell you what, it took me quite a while to get back in. I came in and I was able to log in, but once the show started, I couldn't get in because if you can't log in as yourself, even though I was logged into Blog Talk, I couldn't get logged in to the show. And you can't comment on the chat if you're not.
Yeah.
If you're
I know
not
it took Foggy forever to get in there, and he finally stayed, but there were a bunch of people just winking in and out and in and out. But,
yeah, I know what Warplebite was talking about, the one comment he had, but that's okay. Did you get that? What he was talking about?
Something here. Let me scale back.
You guys, you know, LG or something like that. I don't know. It kind of got cut off there where he left the LASGGGG. I'm not sure what that meant.
Yeah, I think he said something. It was lagging for him.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh.
I don't know.
But
at least that's what I assume.
When Weirdness went off the air in 1983, just every so often when my brother was in town, I brought back. But we had a ton of regular characters. J.G. Stuffy was one of them. I kind of did him like the old Robin Leach with the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. We had Inspector Bumbling. Yeah, we had Inspector Bumbling and his assistant Crumworth. That one was kind of funny because my brother was Inspector Bumbling and I was all the other characters that showed up in the story. We'll have one of those for New Year's. I already have it up there in the group. Case of the Missing New Year. We did Mama and Papa Strudel. It was kind of a cooking show, and Mama Strudel has got to be the worst cook in the world. It was really slapstick radio because she was always beating up on Papa Strudel. And we had our own type of interviewer who kind of like, because again, my brother and I listened to as much Bob and Ray as we get our hands on. And of course, there was the famous Wally Blue. We had Itchy Armstrong. Actually, he started off as Itchy Armpit, and my brother thought that was just so gross. So he would be willing to do Itchy Armstrong. There are a couple of our early ones. He did do it as Itchy Armpit, but he was very happy to go to Itchy Armstrong. He was kind of our interviewer extraordinaire that went around to wherever we needed him to go to, kind of like Wally Blue. I'm trying to think what else it was.
That's a lot of fun. You must have done a fair amount of writing because you got a lot of material there.
Well, when it came to the specials, I wrote a lot more for the specials than we wrote for the weekly show. And we'd always have an ad-lib section starting off the show and an ad-lib section when we said goodbye. And then there was usually in the middle of it a weirdness quiz of some sort where like every question, the proper answer was the answer A. But it gave us a chance to give off some silly secondary answers. You know, so.
Yep.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a neat thing doing with my brother. And he actually contributed to the writing while we were doing it weekly, but after that one was just the specials, I expected, Freddie First Love was another one that we did. And I know that you haven't had a chance to listen to that clip you said, because some of the background music during the poem is not PD, but it's really underneath. You really don't hear it, but I did want you to, if we were going to use that, I wanted you to know what you had there.
All I know is I'm looking forward to next week, and that's going to be something else, a little three-day weekend for the listeners.
A three-day weekend, but usually when you think of three-day weekends, it means you're supposed to have off for 3 days, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. This isn't a job. This is a calling. This is different.
Or at least a call-in, yeah.
Yeah. Calling, didn't call in. But no, you got some Dragnet, Mysterious Traveler, of course, Inspector Bumbling, Red Skelton, Milton Berle, Crime Photographer, Suspense. Wow.
Yep. And the fun thing about that Crime Photographer, we'll talk about that some, but of course, that was all those episodes were written by Alonzo Dean Cole, the guy who wrote and directed and even acted in all of the original Witch's Tales. So.
And we even got our shovels out and dug up Guy Lombardo for the new year.
Yep. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
And we're going to keep playing and keep playing until the 32nd of December.
Yes, we are. That is actually a pretty cool story. I do like that. But that one stars Frank Lovejoy, and he is just one of my – I don't know why, but he's one of my favorite radio actors. He and probably William Conrad are my two favorite radio actors.
I'm still deciding on my favorites, and I have a lot more to listen to before I fully make up my mind. I have – some favorites already, you know. Of course, you know I like John Brown as that character. Who is telling you the story? And, of course, I love Raymond in Inner Sanctum. He's just a clever host.
I think I'll have to send you a link to one. I swear that's him. In a couple of the Radio Mystery Theaters, because, of course, he was associated with Hyman Brown. And I'm pretty sure that was him. So he was doing more or less some straight acting. That's the only reason I kind of have some – you know what? I'll have to look up that page and see what they say is in the cast there. But it sounds to me like Raymond was actually doing just some acting in that. So.
Yeah. And we're finishing off our first year next weekend. Wow.
Wow.
That's a lot of shows. Not only 50.
I guess we'll have to have an anniversary party the weekend after that, then.
Yeah, there you go. Let's keep the party rolling. No, 52 oldie-timey radio shows and probably almost 60 other Erie House radio shows with the holiday shows and the extras that we've done.
Yeah, but when we get to do the show, I'm going to look up and see how many, because most of our Friday shows, we've got two complete shows in. So I want to look up and see how many complete radio shows and how many clips we've done over the year. So,
I'm going to guess maybe about 110 to 120. That's my guess.
Okay, we'll find out.
Radio shows. Yeah.
We will find out.
Yep. We'll give you the stats, folks. While you're listening here in the archive. And we appreciate that. You're coming back. There is some extra features, sometimes a little extra news, sometimes a little stuff we're coming up with that you can look forward to in the future. So thanks for listening. Happy holidays. If you're listening before Christmas Day, please have a good, safe, and happy holiday and get ready for the new year.
Yep, absolutely.
So I'm going to run off and take, several handfuls of pills and whatever the doctor says, I don't know. And get ready for a little Erie House TV. There's a couple guys you might want to check out.
Yeah, and there's us there too.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, dude. You have a good one.
Say goodnight, Dave.
Hey, goodnight, Dave.
Say goodnight, Jimmy.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.